Welcome to the Cherokee County Football Blitz, hosted by Will Cooper and Arthur Mosley. Guys, take it away.
Hello, folks, and welcome in to episode 2 of the Cherokee County Football Blitz podcast. I'm your host, Will Cooper, joined alongside my co-host and my lead analyst for the season. That is Arthur Mosley sitting to my right. Art, welcome into the broadcast, buddy.
Hey, Will, thanks for having me, man. You know what? 2 episodes in, and I did not get cut yet, so I'm excited to be back. I feel like this is a permanent thing for me this season.
Maybe. I would treat it like an open tryout.
Week to week, huh?
Yeah, that's the way I treat it.
Day by day contract here. Will, I'm excited about this season. We're coming into week 1. I know you're excited. And we're broadcasting on location tonight, man. Tell the fine folks where we are for week 2 of our podcast, but week 1 of the regular season.
Yeah, week 1 of the regular season. We're here at Schott & Kirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram here in Canton, Georgia. So just up the road here from the Walmart. Come up here, check out some of the vehicles they've got. On the drive up here, I know there's been some new vehicle shortages. Not here. They've got tons of them lining the road. So make sure if you're in the market for a new vehicle, come up here and check it out. I can speak to them personally. I purchased my vehicle from them about 3 years ago, and I've been very happy with the service and the overall buying experience. This is their second year as a sponsor with us, so we do appreciate their hospitality for allowing us to intrude on their space for a little bit this afternoon and hopefully bring the folks here maybe a little bit of a fine football talk.
Absolutely, Will. Fine football talk is what we're all about. Well, maybe.
And some
maybe.
Jokes
you know,
here and there.
Yeah, and some jokes. I know. We'll poke fun at Dave Garner here and shortly and in his absence. You know, he's big time in us, not doing a podcast this season, but
per usual.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the meat of things, Will. Shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about what you have to look forward to in this show. So we will be previewing all 6. That's right. There's 6 Cherokee County games going on in week 1. And I think they all are probably the most interesting group of 6 teams that Cherokee County has ever opened the season against. It is a wide variety of teams, ranging from ones that are historically great to historically not so great. But somewhere in the middle, we will find the answers. And there's going to be a lot of debate going on as we get ready for the first broadcast of the year. And we will be at Cherokee, at Tommy Baker Field, coming up this Friday. So just a couple of days from now when you're hearing this on Wednesday. But you're going to need to listen to both this show and the pregame show, because there's going to be a couple of points that we're going to skip out on this show that we will add in the pregame show and vice versa. So if you want a full in-depth dive, this is the podcast. If you want a more rounded version, quick there. But we're also going to save our predictions, those vaunted predictions, where I went 87% last year. You're going to want to stick around for the pre-game show on every broadcast brought to you by Northside Hospital Cherokee again this year. So make sure you check both those out. But for this show, we're going to get into all 6 of these games right after this break. Once again, you're listening to the Cherokee County Football Blitz.
Do you want to make a difference in your community? I'm Cherokee County Sheriff Frank Reynolds, and I am looking for the best and brightest to become deputy sheriffs. We offer a competitive starting salary of over $50,000 and great benefits. Come work with us at the Cherokee Sheriff's Office. Simply go to CherokeeGA-Sheriff.org and click employment at the top of the page. Become a deputy sheriff in Cherokee County today.
Welcome back into the Cherokee County Football Blitz here, the brand new podcast brought to you by the WLJ Broadcasting Crew and all of our fine sponsors that you will be hearing throughout the night. We appreciate all of them being back on with us and looking forward to another excellent football season that will kick off this Friday at Cherokee High School as the Cartersville Purple Hurricanes take the trip over to Tommy Baker Field. But before we get into all of that, let's talk a little bit about a couple of games that are going on in our area that are very pertinent. So let's start with the first one, Creekview at Cambridge. Boy, oh boy, you want to talk about opening up the season with a bang. 2 teams that come in both 8-3. Cambridge, of course, made it to round 2 of the playoffs last year. Creekview, not so fortunate, lost in the first round to Carrollton on that tough draw. But the thing you'll want to know about this game is this is the game last year that towards the end of the year, Cambridge came into Creekview, shut out the Grizzlies, and won 7-0. And that was the first time Cambridge had ever won in that series. And there's a few questions I have about the Grizzlies and the game. But before I do that, I want to turn it over to you. What's your personal interpretation of the game? And what's going to jump out to you that you need to see from both these teams?
Well, for Cambridge, they graduated a couple of key pieces on that team. None more important than Zach Harris, their quarterback. But for the Cambridge faithful, look out because they do return their top two running backs, Christian Isebor, and a young man. We were very impressed with Jack Marlowe at running back, and then a wide receiver in Will Taylor, who's a tough matchup for just about anybody. Will Taylor led the team in receiving last year. Will Taylor had 914 yards and 9 touchdowns. My question is, can the Grizzlies put enough pressure on new quarterback Preston Klemmer and make him uncomfortable? And we know the Creekview Grizzlies have made a name for themselves making opposing quarterbacks very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I think my question is the complete opposite. And that is, when you talk about these guys that they're returning, Elliot Kuykendall is a guy that comes to mind. They're on the defensive end. I need to see Creekview score. I know that so we haven't discussed it yet on the podcast, but we were there. You and I both watched the Cherokee-Creekview scrimmage. There's a couple of things about that scrimmage that the 27-7 score doesn't reflect. I did like the execution from Creekview. I absolutely did. I thought that Austin Guest was very impressive. All that being said, it's so different, and that Cambridge team is going to be an excellent measuring stick to start off the game, or the season, I should say. I really need to see Creekview come out and put up more than 0 points like they did last year, obviously. But I'm going to need to see them put up at least 14, 17. But, you know, the other thing, too, about this game that I have is one of my bullet points. How much can we really learn about this team in week one? Because if Creekview goes in there and loses, and or Cambridge loses, can you really take either team and discredit them? Because from the get-go, they're both highly rated coming into the season. And I think people are expecting for sure a winning season from both these teams, if not a top two seeding in the region, or at least contending for that. So if either team loses, you can't look at those fan bases and say, well, you know, it's not looking good. I think either way, I think if Creekview wins, everybody's got to stay calm. I think if they beat Cambridge, you can get excited, but once again, stay calm. So, you know, either one out of this is probably the game out of all of them that I'll look at the final score and go, wow, okay, I still don't know what's going to happen moving forward.
Yeah, unless, say, for a blowout where one team puts up, you know, 35 and the other one puts up 7. Yeah. Say for that, I think both of these teams are in great shape heading into region play. Again, a great matchup, first game of the season. Cambridge, a team on the rise under Coach Craig Bennett. You know, he's in his 11th season, 50-54 record overall. But, man, he's got those Bears moving in the right direction, and we know about Trevor Williams. Well, one question I have for Creekview is, and maybe a key to their success, is how well and how soon does Austin Guest get settled in at quarterback, and how well and what kind of relationship does he have with his receivers? We saw him make some great connections in that scrimmage last week. Can he do it again against live bullets in a scrimmage that counts this time? And I'm sorry, that's not a scrimmage. It's a real game that counts.
Yeah, and I one of the other bullet points I had was the running game, and there's a caveat to that running game because it's not an offensive line question. Because the offensive line has proven themselves for the most part. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to have their hands full with Cambridge. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not saying that they're going to run for 150 yards, but it's really the running back stable and the utilization of Isaac Hubert, Nigel Agumang, those guys that we saw in the scrimmage, or maybe they have somebody else that they're planning on rotating in or going to give a couple of reps. The other thing too is that we saw a lot of designed runs with Austin Guest, and he's kind of that, I'd call him the third running back of the group, where you have some flexibility there as that 11th guy to push the pile, for lack of a better term. So I really need to see what their plan is in the running game, and I really need to see how that's going to transition to points and how it sets up the passing game, because I once again, it's not an offensive line question. It's mostly a skill position question, because that was the biggest question coming into the season for Creekview.
Man, those are great points, Will. You talk about who they return. You mentioned Isaac Hubert, 221 yards and 2 touchdowns. It's all they bring back. Now, he was a spot player in that, a situational player for them last year. And then outside of that, you know, Guest, 14 carries for 87 yards and a touchdown. And then after that, it's non-mentionable. Yeah. And so there's a lot of opportunity for Creekview to make some strides in that run game. We'll see who steps up, if they can step up, like you said.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one for sure. So, once again, that game at Cambridge. So, any of the Creekview fans traveling over, that will be at Cambridge. So
at Cambridge, and they have a clear bag policy.
Clear bag policy, and tickets are available on GoFan only, if I remember correctly. I think that's the Fulton County school rule.
I believe you are correct.
All right, there you go. That's how you get your tickets. That's how you get in. So, make sure you go check out that team if you are so interested. We're going to hit a second break. When we come back, we'll be talking about another team that's looking to turn the tide. That's Etowah, as they face Lassiter. Just a minute. We'll be back.
At Schott & Kirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Canton, we thank you for the privilege of selling cars and trucks in North Georgia. And that's why we make it our mission to give back to our community. I'm David Booth, General Manager, and during the past few years, we've raised over $1 million for the Cherokee County School System through our Wrangler Raffle, plus sponsoring a special award for our Teacher and Coach of the Year. Yes, we want to sell you a vehicle, but when you do buy from us, know that we're giving back to our community.
Schott & Kirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Liberty Boulevard at I-5. 575 Canton.
Welcome back into the Cherokee County Football Blitz podcast. We are live on location at Schott & Kirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram here in beautiful Canton, Georgia on a very nice day. The weather for Friday night is looking a little rainy, Art.
I know. I was kind of looking at that. I already put my rain gear in my vehicle just in anticipation because I don't want to be caught off guard, Will. I don't want to be caught napping on a screenplay, right?
Great point. And, of course, anybody that's wondering, it does not matter if it is raining. We will still be broadcasting.
Absolutely.
So we will still be at Cherokee High School as Cartersville comes up to face on the Warriors. We'll talk about that game here at the end of our show. But moving on down the list now, since we have all six Cherokee County teams in action this week, let's talk about the Etowah Eagles. First of all, we haven't talked about their scrimmage. Beat Sprayberry 31-28. A couple caveats with that.
Say what?
Yeah, you heard me. 31. Etowah put up 31 points.
Hey, come on. Time out, Will. I just want to say that's a team that averaged 7.1 points a game last season.
And 8.4 the season before that.
Okay, carry on.
Yes, with that being said, Sprayberry did turn the ball over four times, but once again, the best offense sometimes is a defense that can get you the ball. So just pointing that out there, we'll have to see what transitions into the actual game. We have seen kind of a split quarterback role. Jack Strickland, the primary passer, and then Xavier Mahoney has kind of been a running guy. Coach Kemper's even been quoted as saying Mahoney is the fastest guy on their team. So, very interesting point. We'll have to see how that plays out and what kind of stylings they want to do with the offense, but a lot of flexibility there. Let's jump into the actual game now. Both teams have had big defensive struggles. We were talking about that. Etowah, not so much, right? Etowah had a pretty good defense last year, but in the last couple years, it's been kind of a struggle. Last year, they averaged giving up 26.1.
Mm-hmm.
Given the competition, not bad, but just remember that. Last year, on the other hand, 33.8. This is liable to be a track meet.
I completely agree with you, Will. Look, my biggest question is, can Etowah sustain the success they've had in their spring scrimmage and in their fall scrimmage? But everything we've seen out of Eagle Mountain looks really good. A player we haven't talked about, I know we talked about Strickland, but one guy I want to talk about is, and you've been high on this guy early on in the offseason, is Johar Cacho. Mm-hmm. All right. I had a chance to watch some of his film, move in from the Northeast. Hard runner inside, not the biggest of stature, but makes the most of every one of his carries from what I've seen so far. My biggest question about Cacho is, he doesn't have the breakaway speed, okay? So, but I don't know if that you necessarily need that. We saw Etowah have a lot of success with Washington last year, running back, and he didn't have breakaway speed, but is able to run in between the tackles. That Etowah offensive line is really getting downhill and blocking downfield, and that's very impressive. And that could mean big things because if they can set up that run game and Strickland can be as accurate as we've seen him, this could be a turnaround season for the Etowah Eagles.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing we got out of our preseason show was that Coach Kemper even said, you know, we're going to go from a defensive team to an offensive line team. So when you have that, what that means is running. That's essentially what that means.
Sure. Yeah.
So and it set up other plays that we've seen. And once again, Jack Strickland did a great job in the scrimmage. Mahoney got a couple of carries in there, including a 64-yard touchdown scamper where he just flat out outran everybody. Those are two great weapons to have, and that doesn't even include Johar Cacho that we were talking about, and a couple of receivers on the outside. Still rotating those guys in, from what I can tell. We'll have to wait and see who comes out and makes most of the catches there. But nonetheless, it looks like that Etowah is going to have a pretty good running game. Other side of that coin is Lassiter's returning a quarterback who is committed to Georgia State. You'll tell me his name because you remember it.
Bryson Harrison. Yes.
Yeah, there we go. So Lassiter's going to be able to throw the ball on the other end as well. I know they graduated both of their receivers, the top receiving guys on their team. They're going to have to find some production there. With that being said, maybe Etowah shocks us, right? Maybe Etowah comes out, holds them to 14, puts up 28, and I think if Etowah wins by two, touchdowns, you can probably put them in the more legit than we thought status.
Sure. Will, you mentioned Bryson Harrison, the quarterback committed to Georgia State. Biggest problem is he graduated his top two receivers. The other one transferred out to Kell. So they're going to be looking for some stability in the passing game. They return a running back, Gadsden, only 474 yards. He was their leading rusher last season. So this is a team that, one, can they establish dominance at the line of scrimmage over this Etowah defense? We hadn't talked about some of the guys that Etowah lost on that defense, guys like Alden Datus.
Ryan Lee,
yeah. So Etowah's got some questions that defensive front. Will Lassiter, I was going to say Kell for some reason, will Lassiter be able to establish some dominance? And I think the team with the returning quarterback always has a slight edge, but his skill position players around him, who is he throwing to? If he's throwing to me, he might be in trouble.
Well, yeah, maybe. If he was throwing to me, he'd be in great shape. But you, on the other hand, no, but in all seriousness, I'm kind of with you. We said this about Creekview-Cambridge. Whoever wins that game, whoever loses, if it's close, you can't tell. I think you can tell a lot about Etowah based on what happens. If they come out and win by double digits, they're probably pretty legit because Lassiter's not the pushover they've been for the last 3, 4, 5 years, okay? On the other side of that coin, if Etowah comes out and struggles, I think they're probably right in the middle of where we think. There's the third side of this coin, oddly enough, a weird coin. But if they come out and lose by 14 or something like that, it's going to be really hard to look at Etowah, and it's probably going to be a defensive issue from that point. I would think that the only way they could lose by double digits is if they allowed 42 points or something like that. But once again, we haven't seen Etowah's defense really come out, and one of the things about scrimmages is offenses tend to do a little bit better than defensive grouping because you don't plan for the offense you're going to see. You line up in a base package and just do basic plays. So when you get your personnel groupings, the tape, the things like that that you'll be able to do come week one, week two, week three, I think it's going to be a very different-looking aspect of the game, and I'm excited to see what the Eagles could do. This could really, once again, if they come out and really put their foot down, this could be a season that Etowah fans will remember for a while.
I'm looking forward to it, Will. One last point I'm going to make. Lassiter allowing 33.8 points a game in 2021.
Yeah.
Etowah allowing 26.1. For either of these teams, a successful season will really depend on whether or not they can improve that number.
Yeah, and once again, I think the Etowah portion of that 26.1 is skewed because they played Roswell, Milton, you know, the teams that they did play. So, well, with that being said, let's go ahead and hit another break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the River Ridge Knights, who we had a chance to go see on Friday night. Give us just a minute, and we'll be back.
Feed all the hungry people in your life at Culver's of Hickory Flat. Their signature butter burgers are fresh, never frozen, and the frozen custard is the perfect treat. Culver's of Hickory Flat is locally owned and operated by local people who care about our community. Their passion for fresh food is as strong as their love for the community. They're proud of where they're located and how their local roots have made them who they are. Get fresh food now at Culver's of Hickory Flat, 6778 Hickory Flat Highway.
Welcome back into the Cherokee County Football Blitz podcast. Thank you for joining us here on a Wednesday, Thursday, whenever you're listening to it. Maybe it's Friday and you're on the way to the game and you're futuring us here. But hopefully the rain's not coming down too hard as we will once again be at Cherokee High School as they face the Cartersville Purple Hurricanes in what should be a pretty good matchup to start the Tanner Savisaar era. But we'll talk about that in just a few moments down the line. But before we do that, we do want to thank Schottenkirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram once again for having us here this afternoon / evening. Appreciate them allowing us to take up their space and view their beautiful cars. They've got a Gladiator parked over here that's in a desert tan.
Sharp looking ride.
It's kind of calling my name right now. I wonder what kind of trade-in they'll give me. But with that being said, let's jump back into the football talk here. You and I had a chance to go to River Ridge. We actually took a good hard look at the Knights. Some very interesting points to talk about. First of all, the quarterback battle is up in the air. We saw Ethan Spector and Isaiah Coughlin both taking reps at quarterback. Running back, it looks like Daniel Fitchner has anchored that down. We've seen a bigger play from MJ Ayers on the offensive side of the ball than I thought we probably would. But with all of those points being said, they did end up losing the scrimmage to Wheeler 16-10. You know, here's my big concern. The offensive line was not as sharp as I thought it would be, and they returned three starters who I thought would really help anchor that. And maybe Wheeler's defensive line is a lot better than we're giving them credit for. Hard to tell in a scrimmage. But as they play Hillgrove, and Hillgrove will come to River Ridge for this game, they're going to need to prove that they can run the ball effectively, and a good way to do that is against a Hillgrove Hawks team that went 2-8 last year.
2-8 and gave up 34.6 points a game in a very difficult region in 7A with the likes of McEachern and Marietta. Nevertheless, Will, let's go back to that scrimmage. One cause of concern for me, like you said, was that offensive line. Now, early, River Ridge did have some success running the ball, and perhaps Coach Collins saw all he wanted to see out of that. What we did see was a little struggle in the pass game, and to be expected. You've got two young quarterbacks battling for that starting position after a senior has left, and so that's going to be a very interesting development to see who grabs the reins and how far can that quarterback take this team. We know they have a great one of the top tight ends in the state in Jackson Head. So it's not about lack of depth at receiver. It's about who's ready to step in and has that comfort level to lead this team.
Yeah, and I don't say that offensive line struggle to discredit that. You're right. Mm-hmm. They had one drive where they ran the ball very effectively, and it was kind of more of the outside run is really kind of where they got lost on that. And kind of, once again, the passing game was okay, but you know, in a scrimmage where it's two-hand touch for the quarterback was quote-unquote sacked a lot. Now, that completely negates quarterback mobility, and sometimes those quote-unquote sacks are a guy diving who would have never had a chance at a tackle who just happened to tip him, and for player safety, they call the play dead. But just from on the outside looking in, I think there was some improvement there. But I will say this, Coach Collins is probably one of the best coaches. If you watch a game one Friday night and you think they really need to improve on this, you come out the next Friday night, they look like a totally different team. They improve that point that you thought they need to improve on almost tenfold. It's amazing. So I know for sure that they have improvement ability in them, and they have some young players that they're going to be bringing in and trying to learn these things and trying to transfer them over. And they're also going to have a great coach to lead them through that. And once again, we were talking about Hillgrove. You know, you talked about the defensive struggles. It's been an offensive struggle. They averaged 18.7 points per game last year. That's not going to get the job done either, unless you just have a very stout defense. So I really would like to see this River Ridge defense that's replacing a couple of key pieces and Brian Bradley and some guys on the back end really come out and hammer home the point that they are ready to step up and take this River Ridge defense where it needs to go, which I think is probably about 20 points per game.
Yeah, that would help. Last year, River Ridge defense was about 24 points a game. That was a little bit up from where they were when they won the region title the year before. So can they bring that number back down? Big concern, we saw Wheeler have some success running the football with Josiah Allen. It was a very eye-opener, you know, and a team that we'll see later on for the Cherokee Warriors. But, yeah, Will, the defense is going to have to quickly – learn how to replace Brian Bradley, and I don't say that lightly because he's a guy that's playing at a service academy, if I'm not mistaken, at the Air Force Academy. So it's a tough row to hoe right now for the River Ridge defense and replacing those guys. And like you said, Coach Collins, I have to find a way to say this nicely. This is not his first rodeo. I was about to say he's not a spring chicken. Coach Collins in his 18th season, his fourth year at River Ridge. So he knows a thing or two about coaching high school. Football's got two region titles under his belt. So like you mentioned, he can see a problem, attack it, and fix it.
Yeah, he certainly can. And one last point I want to make about Hillgrove. They have a lot of athletes on the outside, and I think that's going to be key for River Ridge. We've seen MJ Ayers, who's really taken over as that CB1 role, I should say, cornerback one role. What I need to see is the opposite side of that and the safeties helping out. So if they can really hammer home that secondary, then that buys your defensive line a little bit of time and you get those good linebackers like Brendan Dye and Brandon Burdett that extra second if they do decide to blitz or bring four or change packages or things like that. But going to need to see that in a big way and relatively quickly against this Hillgrove Hawks team.
You are right, Will. One thing that helps River Ridge is that Hillgrove's top two quarterbacks from last year are no longer there. They've transferred out. So they'll be starting a young quarterback. The Hillgrove Hawks will be starting a young quarterback. They've also lost a couple of their top receivers. So this is a team that's also searching for answers on offense. This is a great matchup. I think on paper, you look at the records and you say, oh, Hillgrove's 2-8. Well, River Ridge is also replacing a lot of pieces. So this really becomes a great matchup. Kind of like you said before, at the end of this game, score, how will we feel about it? Well, you know, if River Ridge wins by a couple touchdowns, we could probably surmise that, yeah, they did enough to win the game. They've got something to work with.
Right.
If they lose this game, we might be scratching our heads.
Yeah, and might be looking for some answers in a big way. So you don't ever want to put too much stock in one game, but I'm kind of with you where I at least need to see River Ridge. Don't have to win, but they're going to need to keep it close for sure. But, I mean, if they start losing by double-digit points and two possessions and things like that, things kind of get out of hand pretty quickly. So we're going to need to see that at least from the Knights. But I think they have a pretty good chance to win, of course. We're not doing our predictions here. That'll be coming up on the pregame show.
Oh, yes.
Northside Hospital Cherokee pregame show every Friday at 7 o'clock. So kickoff at 7:30. But come join us for the pregame show at 7 o'clock. We're going to give you our predictions, and we're going to get you ready for every high school football game. And one of those high school football games that we're going to get you ready for is including Sequoia as they host Lambert. So we'll talk about that on this podcast coming out on the other end of this break. Give us just a minute and we'll be back.
At Woodstock Furniture and Mattress Outlet, we don't have locations across the country. Our stores are right here in Georgia. Our customers aren't numbers, they're neighbors. Your kids probably go to school with our kids. And chances are, your furniture is our furniture. So the next time you're thinking new living room, dining room, bedroom, or new mattress, think Woodstock Furniture and Mattress Outlet, Georgia's furniture and mattress superstore. For nearly 30 years, locally owned, Georgia grown.
Welcome back into the Cherokee County Football Blitz here on all podcasting platforms. We're finally on Apple and Google. So those were the last two dominoes to fall officially on as of today. So welcome everybody listening on those platforms. Appreciate you joining us here. We are live at Schottenkirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram here in Canton. As the sun is setting over our shoulder, we're here in the main front, the friendly confines, if you will.
Oh, yes.
And the
air
conditioning for... you know, this weekend's going to get a little cooler. The rain's going to come in, but it's going to keep the temperatures modest. So that will be good for any fall fans out there. I know people are biting at the bit to get there. So that'll be good. But yes, appreciate Schottenkirk for having us here today. And looking forward to talking some more high school football with you, my friend Art.
I'm looking forward to it too, Will. And we've got another big matchup, a team that it seems like a theme so far, a team that's replacing a lot of pieces we're about to talk about. And that is the Sequoia Chiefs, as they host the Lambert Longhorns at Skip Pope Stadium on Friday night at 7:30.
Yes, that should be a good game, as a matter of fact. I think for Sequoia fans, it's probably the most unsure fan base so far. I don't know what to expect. I don't even think we know where the quarterback battle lies. I know that Jackson Nesbitt seems to be taking most of the reps there. I also know that there have been a couple of other guys. Hunter Scoggins has rotated in there a couple of times. With that being said, they do have talent. One of those, Tyler Bell at running back. We'll also see Jackson Hancock as well. So I know that there is talent there. Ty Moore is at tight end, has done a good job catching the ball more than we've seen in the past. With all of that, that doesn't even account for the defense, because I know you're a big defensive fan for Sequoia. So you're a all county preseason team told me that, so I'll let you talk about that here in just a second. But yeah, so the last couple ones we've talked about, it's one of those where if you win, you can learn a lot about a team. If you lose, you can learn a lot about a team. I don't think it matters what the result is in this game. We're going to learn a lot about Sequoia just based on whatever happens.
Absolutely. One thing is we know that they're going to run the football. That's when we talk about a James Teeter coach team, when they're going to run the football. You already mentioned Bell, also Hancock in the backfield. Who's that other back? Normally they have about three backs that they kind of rotate in. So that's going to be a question mark for me.
I think I know Chimanda has taken some fullback reps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else will be the running back in that stable.
Well, that'll be an answer we'll be looking for come Friday night.
There
and
you
Will,
go.
I have to tell you, I ran into one of the speaking. Now that we're talking about Sequoia, I'm going to take a step back and talk about one of their fine broadcast team on Chiefs TV. Ran into Will Hogendyke on Saturday doing the Lord's work over at Chick-fil-A.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, of course. In case you weren't aware, Sequoia does have a home broadcast team with Max and Will. Appreciate them being with us on the preseason show. Good to talk to those guys. So if you're in the hankering for a little bit of Chiefs TV, you can go on YouTube. It's always free to check that out. But we do invite you while you do that. We don't want to discredit Max and Will, but make sure you tune over to us sometime that time frame.
Oh, but yeah.
It's also worth noting they're available to replay. Those videos are available to replay. As a matter of fact, it helps our preparation a lot when we do Sequoia games because we have such good content to go back and look over from Chiefs TV. So we appreciate those guys very much indeed. And, of course, Brad Mann and everybody over there with the AVTF department that runs everything and makes the broadcast run as good as it does. And it's truly a very special group. But, yes, big shout-out to Max and Will for sure.
Well, let's get back to this game. Sequoia averaging not bad last year, averaging 23 points a game, giving up 21, and their record kind of reflected that right at 4-6. Big loss for them. Their starting quarterback transfers out, and like you already mentioned, we don't know who's taking snaps. What we do know is that, I feel like that defense will be a key for that team this year. Can they hold teams? They're going to have a defense similar to what we've seen out of Creekview, holding teams to 13, 14 points a game so that Sequoia offense can kind of get its legs under them because they're going to be breaking in some new guys on the offensive line. But defensively, Brady Curl anchors that middle, and we know all about him. We saw him play both ways. This guy's been putting a lot of weight on the offseason, so we expect big things out of him on that back end. I know we talked about it. I'll go ahead and spill the beans. I probably went all out calling for – Bretton Darling as my all-county team and a guy left off, Ridley Joseph, who I'm also high on, is back there in the secondary as well. They return a lot of their top tacklers. So this Sequoia Chiefs team flying around in their scrimmage against a Denmark team that was a playoff team last year. And so very impressive outing for Sequoia in their scrimmage. Again, live bullets now with the week one, so Lambert's not going to be a pushover team that averaged 27 points a game last season.
Yeah, and I think the other part of that is Sequoia average giving up 21 even. Not a bad metric. Not bad at all. That was the first year of Coach Brent Buddy. Mm-hmm. We got to remember, this is going to be year two, a full offseason in his program. Mm-hmm. He's going to have developed these kids a little bit more. There's some good chance of improvement there. Because I don't want to say they didn't lose a ton of talent on defense. That wouldn't be fair to the defensive ends. Kamar Plummer up the middle, and then you talk about Avery Bourne and Harrison Hood. Mm-hmm. That's not fair to them. And then, once again, they obviously miss Matthew Traynor on the back end of that. But Jackson Hancock returns. You were talking about the two corners there with Ridley Joseph and Bretton Darling. Talk about a handful of linebackers, Brady Curl up the middle, like you all just perfectly laid out there. I think they can improve. 13-14 is a stiff number to uphold, especially if we get to the end of the year and you're looking at the schedule that they're going to play. I mean, if they can do that, then Sequoia is legit, big time legit. But I'm kind of with you. I think the offense is probably going to be a clock-eating wing T veer style offense that we've seen Coach Teeter run for his time at Sequoia. Nothing wrong with that, but in order to do that, you're going to need the defense to back up that offense. It's kind of a reverse of what you think. Most people think we have to score more than we allow, and kind of on the back end of that, you're going to have to be defensive folks and just say we're not going to allow more than we score.
That's absolutely correct, and that's I think that works out. That works out.
I just had to do a mental lap there.
That works out. Absolutely. You don't want to allow more than you score, for sure, right? That's the other way to look at that, and that's the way you look at it when you're a experienced defensive team. And like we said earlier, give that offense a time to catch up and get their legs under them. If the Sequoia's defense can lead them. Will, you talked about what can we tell from this game. Lambert made it to the playoffs last season, 7-4 team, so this is going to be a great matchup for them. They do return their starting quarterback, and special teams will be special. I'm going to butcher this name, Lambert's kicker, Ryan Degiansky.
Something like that.
Something
I don't
like
know.
That, right, returns. He's one of the top kickers in the state, at least in Class 7A. So Lambert's going to be a great test for Sequoia. If the Chiefs come out on the short end of the stick, well, I'm probably not as concerned unless that score is 52-0.
Yeah, that's the key. I'm going to need to see at least a handful of offensive plays that I think are explosive, because that's been a critique of Sequoia for the past few years. We're going to need to see at least a couple of plays, if not a handful. And then I'm going to need to see the defense hold Lambert, who's a pretty good offensive team. They scored 27.7 last year. Going to need to see him hold them to – I'll put the mark at 17. If you go 21, I'm okay with that. You're holding teams about 7 points under what they average scoring. You can live with that for the most part. But, yeah, I mean, if Sequoia comes out and holds Lambert to 14, 17, 21, something in there, that's right where they need to be.
Yeah, Lambert had the first year, not, well, first season head coach, Mark Beach. It's his first season as head coach at Lambert. He was a former offensive coordinator. But he also spent several years down in Florida as a head man at Daytona Beach Seabreeze. So very experienced coach coming in against another very experienced coach in James Teeter, who also coached in Florida at the beginning of his career. I'm not going to say when he coached in Florida because I might get in trouble about that. But James Teeter coaching the Clay High Blue Devils down in Green Cove Springs, Florida in his younger years.
I don't know how you remember all this. That wasn't written down anywhere, folks. He just knew that off the top of his head. And Teeter's been at Sequoia for, let's just say, over 10 years.
It's his 14th season.
Something like that.
He's the most tenured coach in the county.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. Let's hit a break, and we come back. We'll talk about our next matchup, and that includes the Woodstock Wolverines as they will make a trip over to Osborne High School. But give us just a minute, and we'll be back. You're listening to the Cherokee County Football Blitz.
When you are the official sponsor of the comeback, adding a few feet to a drive matters.
First down.
So does shaving a tenth of a second off a lap. Top-rated surgery, physical therapy, and motion analysis by the sports medicine team at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta helps young athletes not only prevent injuries, but heal faster and return stronger, ready to win. Our more than 25 orthopedic and sports medicine locations are ready to assist your athlete's comeback. To learn more, visit choa.org/sportsmed.
At Foundation Financial Insurance and Wealth Management, we believe that your insurance protection
Welcome
and wealth management plan
County
go hand in hand.
Podcast.
We start by shopping your insurance with highly rated companies to find you the best combination of price and protection. With that plan in place, we can then work with you to develop a tailored financial plan. Whether you need to save money on insurance or you need a full financial plan, call us at 678-880-9571. Or come by 670 East Main Street in Canton for a no-obligation consultation today. Securities and advisory services
just ready to get back at it. Before we jump into our game on Friday
night
with Cherokee and Cartersville, we have one more Cherokee County team to talk about, and that is the Woodstock Wolverines, as they will travel to Osborne High School for a little bit of a matchup over there.
Not a little bit. This is an important matchup. Again, the theme has been today a lot of young, new faces who's going to make an impression in Woodstock. Nowhere to go but up, Will. 0-10 in Coach Hoff's first season last year. They've got a matchup, and even Coach Hoff said, you know, we didn't have any problem filling out our schedule this year. Everybody wanted to play us. They'll go over to Osborne. In Osborne, I think this is their second year on that new field they've got there and the new school they've got over there, looking great over there at Osborne over off of Favor Road down in Marietta. I guess that's technically Marietta. Well, these are two teams that are looking for big strides in a big way. And, you know, both teams have, I think, a lot to look forward to this year, believe it or not.
Yeah, I think let's start with Osborne. I think Osborne is probably in the best position they've been in since I've been paying attention to high school football.
Well, let me help you out. Since 1994, which is the last time I believe they had a winning season.
Well, I was born in 2000, so that
and that's when I graduated high school.
Well,
so
there you go. swiftly moving on. So, yeah, I think that Osborne has a lot to be excited about. I remember back in the days when they were in Region 6-6A with Creekview and Harrison and Allatoona and Dalton. They got picked on, and they had, once again, their roster was 35 at the max. I think for the lowest, they had 34 one year. Look at the roster now. Not that that's an indication of success, but it's got 60, 70 kids on it now. So the program at least has some excitement. Kids are going out, wanting to try out and get on the team. And for the other point, I think Woodstock's been biting at the bit. I think that when you talk about Coach Hoff, obviously he has the pedigree, did very well at Eastside Covington. We know his success over there. And I think that what he's looking for is defensive improvement. I think the offense improvement will come. I thought that in the scrimmages that I've seen in W Day in spring, the running game was there. And it's not surprising when you have Tyler Duthit, who helps anchor that offensive line. You can definitely get behind him and run the ball. But I think the biggest improvement needs to come in the passing game. You know, you talk about Cuomo, threw for over 1,300 yards, but a 6-touchdown to 14-interception ratio there. I mean, that is a tough one to overcome. And you're going to have to clean that up a little bit. And he's got some help. Adonis Garcia is going to be outside with him at receiver. He's also going to have playing him on defensive back as well. They're going to need a few more answers around him as well. You can't just focus on one receiver, but he's a big-time guy. I think Woodstock is primed to – it's tough to put him as a playoff team. It's not out of the realm of possibility, of course. We never know what happens. There's always a team every year that surprises us. But I think they're primed to at least get back in contention for when the region play starts, it's a team to take note of.
Absolutely. Will you return, you know, Cuomo is the only returning starter in Cherokee County, so he's got that going for him. You did mention the touchdown to interception ratio. That certainly needs to prove, and it would be great if that was flip-flop this year. That would probably lead to a lot more success for Woodstock. Some of that is based on decision making, and also we know Coach Hoff likes to throw the ball around a lot. So I suspect that in year two of Coach Hoff and year two with Cuomo under his tutelage, those numbers will certainly improve. And you talk about quarterbacks, you go on the other side, Osborne loses one. I believe Bryce Bowens, a guy we saw a few years ago in the Corky Kell Classic at one point playing for Carver Atlanta, moves on. They'll be starting a guy by the name of Eddie Deuce Burr, who all signs indicate this guy has a pretty live arm, and he's got a great young receiver in Joshua Horton, one of the better receivers in Cobb County that you probably have never heard of, that is someone to watch out for defensively if Garcia matches up with Horton. As Garcia's on the defensive side of the ball, should be a fun matchup to watch in this game.
Yeah, they're going to need that. They're going to need I think that's the biggest question for both teams is really the defense. I mean, once again, Woodstock averaged about 9 points per game last year. That's not great. But when the other teams are – when you throw for 14 interceptions, I mean, it's a tough one to overcome. I mean, you're talking about at least an interception every game, if not two. You put yourself in such a bad situation at that point. But the defense given up over 45 points per game last year. Same thing we said about Etowah, though. They played Milton. They played Roswell. They played Alpharetta. Get that. No problem. But still, 45. There's not an offense out there that can keep up with that kind of production. If you're telling a team they have to score 45 points per game every time they walk out there, good luck with that.
Maybe Warner Robins.
Yeah, okay, well, maybe, yes. You said that just for all the Cartersville people listening. I know what you did. But, yes, I suppose you're correct. You do have a few offenses out there. But nonetheless, I mean, you don't even have to do major improvements to come back to that middle. You know, you just need to get back to that middle at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And credit to the staff and the administration at Woodstock. The schedule allows them to get right before they get into those tougher – and I don't want to say tougher because you don't want to discount a team, but when we talk about historically, Osborne, Hiram, those type of teams, recently and historically, they have not been as successful as the Creekviews, Romes, Alatoonas, River Ridges, Sequoias. So you want to get right before you jump headfirst into things that puts you in a bad spot. So hopefully Woodstock can do that. You know, we've talked for every game so far. We've talked about if they win, what that means. If they lose, what that means. I think if Woodstock wins, depending on how much they win by a possession. I would like to see the final score. I'd like to see no turnovers. I'd also really be interested in how the running game went and if it's something they can solidify. If they lose by a touchdown or two, no reason to panic. You know, once again, stay the course. If they lose by more than that, then maybe it's time to either reevaluate what we think of Osborne or maybe Woodstock's not as in position as we would like them to be.
Well, Will, I'm not going to give my prediction, of course, yet. We'll talk about that on Friday night. This is an Osborne team that's going to get somebody this year. Mm-hmm. So everybody better be on their P's and Q's. And this is also a Woodstock team that I believe is going to get somebody this year.
I think they're going to get three or four.
And so people, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the mask and that 0-10 record last year or that 1-8 record for Osborne last year. This is going to be a competitive ball game.
Yes.
And I suspect that what we'll need to see, not necessarily the score, but perhaps a stat line. Like you said, what do the turnovers look like? Were they able to run the ball? Those are the things I think I'm looking for out of this game. Not necessarily, man, Woodstock couldn't beat Osborne. Again, this is not your mom and dad's Osborne, okay? This is not those guys. This is a much improved team under Coach Sherman. So I'm very excited to see both these teams go at it. And again, I think throw the records out the window. This is going to be an exciting ball game.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that one. Well, it looks like we've got a phone call coming in. Art, let's hit a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking to the head coach of the Cherokee Warriors. That's head coach Josh Shaw. Just a minute. We'll be back.
The number one magazine to read is Enjoy Cherokee. This beautiful full-color seasonal publication keeps you in the know with articles about interesting people, fun events, hot restaurants, and cool ideas. Enjoy Cherokee is for busy people who enjoy a lifestyle magazine worth reading and keeping. You'll find Enjoy Cherokee available at most high-traffic locations and mailed free to homes throughout Cherokee County. Join the thousands who don't miss a single issue. Follow us on Facebook and find issues on enjoycherokee.com. Ask for a free publication and enjoy.
There's been so much talk about distracted driving, you're probably sick of hearing about it. Well, we'd rather you be sick of hearing about it than lose your life doing it. The caring staff with Soseby Funeral Home in Canton reminds you that we all have to go sometime, but don't rush it. Wait your turn and don't drive distracted. Keep your hands on the wheel, your eyes on the road, and make sure you stay alert and arrive alive. Drive safely and help us protect our teens. They're the only future we've got. Brought to you by Soseby Funeral Home, honoring life from 191 Jarvis Street in Canton.
Welcome back into the Cherokee County Football Blitz here on the all podcasting platforms site, if you will. So we are glad to be here at Schottenkirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram live this afternoon. Appreciate them hosting us. And joining us now to talk a little bit about our game on Friday night is head coach Josh Shaw of the Cherokee Warriors. Coach, thank you for taking some time to be with us.
Absolutely. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Appreciate that, Coach. I got Art here with me as well. I'll go first. First question I've got for you is, you decided to schedule Cartersville to open up the season. What were you thinking, and what kind of challenges does Cartersville present for your program?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a challenge right out the gates for us. You know, the thought process was you get them before they really get rolling. So, no, but it's turned into, I mean, we've played them 4 years in a row. We beat them a couple of years ago here at our place and had a couple of close games, and then, you know, we've had a blow up. So, but it's definitely an opportunity for us to gauge where we're at, you know, right away. And then we, you know, get into three county opponents after this one Friday night. So we'll know a lot about our football team, you know, around 10 o'clock this Friday. So, but we're looking forward to the challenge. We know what how good they're going to be. They're going to be extremely well coached. They're great on both sides of the ball, up front, on the O-line, D-line. And, you know, so it's going to be a tremendous challenge for our football team.
Coach, I try not to put a whole lot of stock in scrimmages because we don't know what you're trying to see out of your team. But talk about your team last week in their scrimmage against a pretty aggressive defense in Creekview. What did you learn about them, and what? How did they respond this week coming into practice into week one?
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, that game was scheduled for a Friday, and we ended up playing it last Tuesday, so it kind of changed our preparation the rest of the week. You know, gave our players Wednesday off afterwards, and then Thursday had probably our best practice, Thursday most competitive practice in probably 2 or 3 years, actually, and then finished with a good one on Friday, so which led into this game week. But, you know, I mean, there was a lot. With us opening with Cartersville right out the gate, we wanted to be as vanilla as possible. I mean, there's some wrinkles that we have that we feel like we're going to be really good at during the course of the season, and it just was not something that we wanted to be able to, you know, we wanted to show Cartersville right off the bat. So we were also without probably 5 or 6 starters that game as well. So, but, you know, I mean, we got an opportunity to be able to get out there and play a game and hit someone else and, you know, kind of see where we're at and some adjustments that we need to make as well.
Coach, before Will asks his next question, I just want to mention you talked about Cartersville. It's almost like you knew they were in the stands. Their whole staff was in the stands on the Creekview sideline up above the ROTC group. Not that I was there, but maybe they were there, Coach. So anyhow.
Yeah. Well, that was not a surprise. I anticipated them being there. So.
All right, Coach, you sent us your starters, and there's a lot of new names really on the offensive side of the ball, but kind of on both sides. Who are you looking for to have a big game this Friday, or who's somebody you feel like you really need to see come out and get the job done?
Yeah, I mean, when you got 18 new starters, I mean, there's a lot of guys to choose from. So, but I'm excited to see Tanner and us offensively. You know, we've got probably 5 or 6 sophomores that will start offensively. I'm excited to see those guys. But You know, I mean, we got a new offensive coordinator, and but you know, I'm excited to see what Tanner can do. He was efficient last week for against Creekview. He was 12-15, didn't have a lot of yardage, so just anxious to see, you know, how he's going to perform as a sophomore. He's been fabulous in practice and throughout the summer, and then you know, up front as well. We had a left tackle, Michael Pugachow, that sat out the scrimmage last week, came from Cass last year, and really excited to see him and the rest of the O-line guys up front as well. So, and then defensively, you know, I feel like we've got probably our strongest group collectively of linebackers we've had in a long time. So definitely excited to see those guys play as well.
Coach, if you had to give us a couple of keys to success for you all against this Cartersville team, maybe some of the things that Cartersville does well that or not so well. And Coach, I don't want you to give us your entire game plan like you were prone to do last year on our old podcast. So I don't want you to give away all the secret sauce for the victory Friday night. But if you could just give us one or two points that the average fan might be looking out for in this ball game.
Well, we've got to gain yards on first down. I mean, I think that's critical. We don't want to be you know, behind the chains against a team like that. So definitely need to, you know, be in front of the chains on first down, be able to gain, you know, even 3, 4, 5 yards on first down and put us in good position for second and third down. I think that's critical on the offensive side. And then defensively, creating some turnovers. You know, Cartersville is extremely well coached. They secure the ball extremely well. But, you know, obviously, you know, trying to be opportunistic defensively and being able to create a turnover or two, you know, would help us drastically.
Yeah, great points there, Coach. And I think that's all the questions we got for you. Art, you got anything?
I just wanted to remind all of our listeners that Coach Shaw is the pride of Adairsville, the best thing, the best athlete to come out of Adairsville, and the most successful to come out of Adairsville. Coach Shaw and his – and Coach, your 12th season at Cherokee or 11th?
11th.
I'm getting ahead of it. I'm 11th season at Cherokee, and Coach, you know, we just want to wish you the best luck on Friday night. We're excited to be back at Tommy Baker Field. Anything you want to tell all the fans, Cherokee fans, and come out early, or anything you got going on special this Friday night?
No, I mean, other than the fact that our Jumbotron that was struck by lightning last year be working, so we're excited to actually have that. That for our fans, we're looking forward to it. I mean, it's supposed to be a great night for weather wise and you know, our fans come out in full force, so I'm excited. It'll be an electric game atmosphere, and hopefully we play the way we're capable of. And just to get back to your Daresville comment, maybe the best athlete, but Vic Beasley has way more money than me.
We will leave it at that. Coach Shaw, as always, thanks for joining us on the Football Blitz, the Cherokee County Football Blitz. We appreciate it, and we wish you the best of luck on Friday night.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. So that was head coach Josh Shaw joining us. Always a fun interview, at least, Art.
Always a fun interview. Coach Shaw, very generous with his time. I don't know if you heard the whistles out there, but he's always at the field, whether he's coaching the varsity guys or keeping an eye on that upcoming program. One of the things you talk about is, what does your junior program look like? And he's got a, you know, he's got his eye on the future. So we appreciate Coach Shaw taking some time out of his busy schedule during his busy time of year to talk to us about the Warriors and their game.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that I took away from that was the scrimmage. Once again, that's just because it's what we've seen so far. You don't want to put too much into it. And like he said, there are elements to their game they will not show their hand of. And I think that's probably the smartest play he can have. Obviously, facing competition like Cartersville, you want to keep as many cards as you can in your deck and not show what you've got. So it was good to hear that from him. I think that you know, I think a lot of fans might have come away from that and said 27-7. Oh, you know, it wasn't a good scrimmage, but it didn't sound like it bothered him any. And his comments about the practice after and this week, it's been very positive. So it sounds to me like he's very hopeful coming up to Friday.
I think he is, and I think he's got good reason to be hopeful. I know most people around the state are saying, oh, this is a Cherokee team that lost a Division I quarterback last year, Division I wide receiver, and a Division I offensive lineman. What do you have to be excited about? 18 starters on both sides of the ball they were placing. Yeah, should leave. There's a lot of opportunity. Again, a theme of this podcast, a lot of opportunity for some young players to step up this season. And Cherokee is no exception to that. Tanner Savage here, we heard Coach Shaw talk about him. He's very high on that young man. Great leader. Biggest question is, will he have time to throw the football against a very aggressive Cartersville defense that returns one of their top linebackers, Miles Forstall?
Yeah, and it's a tough one. I think that's the big question for me too. I when I look over my bullet points that I have, it's really twofold on the offensive line question though, because they're going to have to establish a running game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really struggled with that last year. They had Aiden Moore to help with that a little bit. A bigger body was able to lay some punishment out, and he ended up getting to 350 yards. I should say, to the 350-yard mark.
Right.
To the 350-yard mark and a handful of touchdowns there. And then we saw Zy Johnson carry it a little bit too. He'll be playing safety. He's actually going to start at safety in the scrimmage. Had a pick six. That was how Cherokee scored. Was pretty cool to see him. And then Larry Dasher as well. And they actually have a new running back that's going to be taking over at Malachi Eccles, a sophomore. Looks like he'll be getting the nod as the starter, and it's really just up and down the list. You talk about they are going to return Peyton Butler and Pops Jamison at wide receiver, but Wyatt Lucas is going to get some chances, Weston Bergman, Grayson Sexton, and then the offensive line is pretty much entirely brand new except for Jayron Tresero, who has moved over from guard to center. But outside of that, it is a totally new look offense, and really the same story on the defense outside of a couple of key pieces, and that's not to diminish these guys, but Javon Hobson, we'll see him back. We will see Kyan Simmons back as well, and a handful of other backers that are really going to play a big part of that. And it's not, once again, not to diminish those guys returning, but there's just so many unknowns with Cherokee. The potential for them is incredible. The floor for them is also pretty incredible, because how strong are these junior first-time players going to come out and be able to face the pressure of a team like Cartersville that, let's face it, they put pressure on other teams.
They do put pressure on other teams. Another young man I did not mention, Jaden Atkins, who goes both ways on the offensive and defensive line for Cartersville. Just going to give these guys a lot of trouble. Case Adams and Amari Thomas, other names that folks will probably hear over the loudspeaker on Friday night. Will, one of the things, you mentioned the defensive line. You mentioned Javon Hobson. He's going to have his hands full against a Cartersville offensive line that has two bookend tackles, I believe. Malachi Tolliver, 6'6", 295, and Jonathan Klein, 6'4", 290. Those are a couple of big guys. I don't even care if they're athletic. If they're leaning on you, yeah, that's tough to go against. So Cartersville is going to create some issues. They return their top running back, Malachi Jeffries, or one of their top running backs, and Malachi Jeffries, he carried the ball 94 times for 607 yards and 12 touchdowns last season. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. Breaking in a new quarterback in Gamble, he did pass the ball for about 26 times last year in some spot action, I think, in some mop-up duty. But Cartersville, not from what we have come to know about them, they're kind of doing a little bit of rebuilding also. Now, mm-hmm, they probably have a little bit, you look at up and down their offensive and defensive line, they return a little more experience, and so that might give them the edge. We'll talk about that on Friday night on our pregame show, Will.
Yes.
So I just want to tease that a little bit with, yes, where we're going with that. But a great test for both teams early in the season.
Well, I think Cartersville reload is probably, once again, it's not a rebuild, it's a reload. I think Cartersville reload / rebuild, whatever you want to label it, is probably better than 90% of the teams you'll see in any classification anyway. So, yes, it's not the Cartersville team we saw 2 years ago that Cherokee beat them on that last ditch play that, mm-hmm, they ended up with the interception. It was kind of the incredible game, one of the top five I've seen personally and had the pleasure to call. Once again, I don't think they're that level of talent or that level of put together, but also, when you talk about the new faces, Cherokee is going to have their hands full for sure. And with that, I think there's two sides to that coin once again. If Cherokee comes out and wins, you're talking about all of a sudden the atmosphere on Tommy Baker Field is going to change a lot. And it's certainly possible.
What do I love to say?
Possible, not probable.
It's possible. It's probable. It's possible, not probable. Probable. That's right. Yeah. I'm a little,
I know,
rusty.
Your quote's
that
better than you.
Well, you listen to some wise words from me, Will. I mean, it's a lot of stuff flowing in and out of this head.
That's
know?
Exactly right.
In any event, Will, it is our game of the week. We'll be there. And like you said, if Cherokee wins, not only will it make people at 9:30 Marietta Highway excited, it will send ripples throughout the state. And I realize this is a 7A team in Cherokee going up against a 5A team, but Cartersville, a perennial power, always highly ranked in every poll that we see across the state. So, yeah, it might be some cause for concern over there in downtown Cartersville as well.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, 2 years ago was when they played at Tommy Baker, and once again, it was that incredible turning point where Cartersville finally lost a regular season game. If that happened twice within 3-4 years, that would be something special. And to make that point, I know that Cherokee's not into moral victories. They come out and lose by 3, 7, 10. That's a good mark, too. I mean, I think the mark is different for them and where they want to go this season.
Absolutely. Again, this is going to be a great barometer. Can they stop the run against a team that we saw already that loves to run the football, that's in their region? Can they stop the pass? A team they'll play later on in Osborne, who we've already talked about a little bit, who looks like they've been retooled. And I know I'm going to get laughed out of Cherokee County for talking about Osborne being retooled here. But Will, there's a lot of questions I think we'll be able to answer early in the season based on the results in this game.
Yeah, and I one last point. I think that I know that we've said in the past that if a team loses, that's not necessarily – you don't want to take victories out of that.
Right.
Cherokee is so young.
Mm-hmm.
I think that every game they're going to improve over what they did last game because they're going to learn on the fly.
Absolutely.
So when we talk about what we're saying about Cherokee right now at 0-0 on August 17th is probably going to be a whole lot different than when we talk about Cherokee, you know, 9-10 games into the season, and they're going to learn through that. So I agree with Coach Shaw. The reason you schedule Cartersville is because if you want to learn, throw them into the fire. So they're going to be baptized by fire over there at Tommy Baker, and we'll be there for it. And it's the beginning of the Tanner Savisaar era. And we don't want to just focus on him, but when you do have a player with as big a shoes to fill as he does, taking over for A.J. Swan, it's really the talking point of the game on Friday.
It'll be fun. It'll be a great talking point, and a lot of our questions will be answered on Friday night. So I'm going to leave it at that and tell people to stay tuned to our pregame show at 7 o'clock on Friday night on North Georgia's WLJA 101.1 FM.
That's exactly right. That's where we'll be. 7 o'clock, come over in and join us. And you can always stream it live on WLJRadio.com if you are out of our range or if you are somewhere where a traditional radio is not available to you. If you're in the car, you're driving, and you think, wow, I can't really get the signal, WLJRadio.com, flip it over. And we're always available on all of the streaming apps as well. So tuned in, iHeartRadio, any of those that you can stream a site through. If you would like to listen to it at home while you're around the house, I know football season is fast approaching and college football fans like to get that Friday night game in. Alexa, Google Home, all of those are hosts for us as well. So there's tons of options to listen to us. The excuses are gone. We don't want to hear any excuse. Well, I was out of state or I was on vacation. No. There's no excuse now, okay? You got to get in here.
Well, and I know there's no excuse because, trust me, when I make a mistake on air, I get a text message or a LinkedIn message, even any way somebody can contact me to tell me how I've messed something up. So I know there's no excuses for people listening because I've got people letting me know and keeping me straight.
Absolutely. And that's how if you want to know how many people are listening, just say something wrong. Now, we say that with the utmost respect. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Well, give us just a minute when we come back. We're going to close this thing out, tell you what you have to look forward to, and break down a couple of surprising events that will be going on come on Friday. So give us just a minute. We'll be back.
With more than 35 years of courtroom experience, the attorneys at the Heller Law Firm are known as the go-to team for important legal issues in Northwest Georgia. If you or a loved one needs help with a criminal charge, overwhelming debt, divorce, or moving forward after a serious accident, call the Heller Law Firm today at 770-345-1130 for a free confidential consultation. And as always, play hard and have fun.
Northside Hospital Cherokee proudly supports Cherokee County football. Thousands of Northside doctors, nurses, and staff are right here in Cherokee County, serving on the top-ranked team for your family's health needs. Whether you're on the field, in the stands, or in your neighborhood, Northside has the expertise to provide exceptional care in your community. For sports medicine, cardiology, maternity, oncology, and other specialties, you can trust your health care to Northside. Visit northside.com/Cherokee to learn more.
Welcome back to the Cherokee County Football Blitz Podcast. I'm your host, Will Cooper, joined alongside my good friend and lead analyst and co-host, and what else do you want to be called? Does that cover the bases?
That covers all the bases.
All right. Arthur Mosley here to my right. Of course, we are here at Schottenkirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram as things are winding down now, and our show is as well. But don't worry, that's not the end of your high school football talk for the week. Not even close. We have a whole game to go over. We appreciate Josh Shaw joining us here earlier in the show, and we are proud to announce we will be at Cherokee High School once again, just one final time here at 7 o'clock for the Northside Hospital Cherokee pregame show, and then followed up with first kick at 7:30 to kick off the season. If you want to keep updated on all the other teams, fear not, my friends. We will keep you updated on all the other teams throughout. Of course, we'll give you some halftime analysis of the game that we're at, as along with all the other ones as well, with the Foundation Financial Insurance and Wealth Management halftime show. And then to close things out for the night, we'll be announcing our Schottenkirk Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram player of the game. And then the post-game show will close things out for us as well. So, Art, I want to get your interpretation of the broadcast. I know this is going to be an interesting question, but we're bringing Ronnie on the spot back. He'll be there with us as well. Zach Gross will be making an appearance here and there as well. Hopefully, he's always invited. But notably absent, and maybe just a serious topic here, is Dave Garner, as he hasn't handed over the reins. That's not exactly true, but has given us his chair for a while to hold it and keep it warm until things open up for him a little bit. Of course, he'll be taking over at Valdosta State, doing their play-by-play duties on Flow Sports, and also he has a new job, and things have kind of accelerated for him in a lifestyle, way to put it. So nothing's bad happened to him. No relationships have soured or anything like that. I don't want anybody to think that he's mad at us or we're mad at him. Absolutely not. He's always welcome anytime, but it's going to be different. But I think with the coverage that we have this year, I'm looking forward to the season.
I'm looking forward to it too. I know you say we're not kicking Dave out, but I've already taken his parking space at the WLJ studio and just scratched his name off of that in a Sharpie, and we'll see how far that gets me, Will. But in all seriousness,
you did take his parking spot at Creekview when we went to the scrimmage.
Well, I was just trying to feel like, trying to see what it was like to be the man, walking into Creekview.
When you find out, let me know.
All right. But, yeah, well, I'm excited about this season. Like you mentioned, this Friday night, you, me, and Ronnie on the spot, Cooper. And I'm telling you, I'm glad when Ronnie's there, because yes, if I have to keep stats, it's going to be a long night for everybody. But he does a great job. Will, working with you last year was exciting. I hope the fans enjoyed the product that we put out for them. Like you said, keeping everybody informed about all the games on Friday night around our area. And then later in the season, those are playoff implications that we love to do as well. So, man, I'm looking forward to it. It's, we were talking about it last Friday night over at River Ridge. Like, hey, we got to get into it. But it's game week, man. And so I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to being back in the booth. Tommy Baker Field, 1956. Is a year that Cherokee High School opened, for all those counting at home.
Yes, there you go.
That's 66 years ago, Will.
That's some good math right there, right off the top of his head. Not bad. He didn't write that down at all. But yes, you're exactly right. Tommy Baker Field, once again, this is our sixth year of high school football here on WLJA. Excited to have everyone back. Of course, we should mention that Pickens football will be on WPGY as well. The Tri-State Communication Sports Network is back and better than ever. There will also be a football edition of Enjoy Cherokee Magazine. Don't know the details of that just yet, but it will be coming out soon. So Enjoy Cherokee Magazine, a part of our sports network as well, as they provide some more in-depth stories about our local athletes, and they do that year-round as well. So it's not just something that comes out, but the football, high school football specific edition comes out 1st of September, hopefully. I know that printing has been an issue, but as soon as it is, we'll announce it on our Twitter page at SportsWLJA, on our Facebook page, WLJ Radio 101.1 FM. You can always find us on those locations. And if you're listening to us, wherever you're listening to us, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcast, Amazon, Podbean, all of those, any of those, we thank you so much for the support. It's been an absolute honor and a success launching the podcast for these first 2 weeks, and excited to finally jump into week one of the schedule. Art, anything else?
That's all I've got. I just want to say thanks to Schottenkirk again for having us out here.
With that being said, that'll close out this show. Once again, Friday night, 7 o'clock, the Northside Hospital Cherokee pregame show. Art and I will break down our predictions. We will give the number for what we think the games will be. We'll go back in depth on these games. So if there's something you feel like you missed on this one, make sure you tune in at 7 o'clock and 7:30 first kick if you can't be with us before then. And if you can't be with us in person, we are always here for you. Once again, WLJARadio.com. We are able to listen live. The tab in the top right-hand corner, give it a click, and you will be taken to our stream. You can listen to us anywhere in the world. Anywhere you have internet access, we'll be there. And of course, if you have one of those radio apps on your phone, iHeartRadio, anything like that. We're available to be listened to those as well as any smart speaker, Google Home, Alexa, any of those play us as well. So as we said earlier in the show, the excuses are out, all right? There's no more excuses. You have a podcast, you have us on Twitter, you have us on Facebook, and then you have us here as well on any of the online stuff as well as on air. So you have every reason to come and check us out and make sure that we're doing the kids justice, right? That's what we're hoping to do. So, but anyway, with that being said, that'll close out our show. We will see you all Friday night, and if not by then, we will see you next Wednesday. So folks, take care, and remember, Art,
we're one day closer to Jesus.
This was the Cherokee County Football Blitz. Make sure to join Will and Art next week for the next episode and each Friday night at 7 p.m. for the Cherokee County Game of the Week on WLJA 101.1 FM.